Yep. That's what a lovely. I forgot how that one is more soft and like, it's more like you're welcome. You like and just so lighthearted, and then it just kind of, it's like oh that was a lovely intro. What the other ones were a little bit more abrasive. That one was thank you, Stoddard Black. Like I always forget when I re-listen to these intros. I'm like these are really melodic and lovely. Check out StoddardBlackall.com. He's a tremendous musician, talent. He also dabbles in the comedy world. Very funny man. StoddardBlackall.com does all the music for the show. We gotta get him back on.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a whirl. Chance. Is that Nickelback?
Yeah.
Oh God. Never mind. I'm here with V. M and V here, ready to do. You're welcome. By the way, you're welcome, Hollywood. Again, we're like they've been ripping us off like crazy. Like, have you noticed everything we've been coming up with? They're like, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
So it's clearly they're listening and they're clearly stealing all of our ideas. Description has all the links below. Don't forget, podcast is available wherever you can find them, and of course, the YouTube channel, Sir Mike, all caps.
Mm-hmm. Yerp.
And I'm sitting with the most like in the mood co-host I've ever had in my life right now.
I'm totally in the mood. What are you talking about?
Like, you are just...
I'm not doing anything.
That's the problem. You're not doing shit.
Oh, my God.
What? Like, okay, so I'm...
You didn't give me any sort of segue or lead or nothing. You just stopped.
What do you mean? I don't have to give you any of that. You can just rock and roll. Just fucking rock out. Why do I have to fucking set you up to rock?
Ugh.
You should just know how to rock by now.
Anyway,
should we
just get into
just
it?
Hit, two speeds. Both are go.
Oh, my God.
Motherfucker. Sorry. I'm angry now. Okay, so here's the thing. It's October times, and if you're listening to this in another year in time, then it's not. But we're going to be doing horror movies and sequels to horror movies.
Yes.
We haven't done a whole horror movie sequel thing yet.
Nope.
We've done a lot of Marvel, DC lately, mm-hmm. You know, East Coast, West Coast. The battle rages on, and this time we're hitting up the horror movies and the horror movies that we want to see sequels to that are sort of like newer horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the list is already on there in the title. You can see it, so it's not like we're giving it like anything away. But we're gonna go ahead and run down a list of the projects that we're going to submit to Hollywood. Okay, so like the titles are already in the titles are in the title. Redundant. The projects are in the title. Vice versa. So we'll just give you the rundown. First off, we've got It Follows 2. It Follows Again. That's what I'm calling it.
It Follows Some More.
It Follows More. Even more It Follows. Does it do anything? Not really.
I forget. Have you seen It Follows?
Yeah. We watched it together. You showed it to me.
No.
I saw It Follows for the first time with you, and I saw the other one where it was based on a short film where it's like you turn the light out and there's a shadow. Creepy, intense shadow ghost lady.
Wait. Ugh. Okay.
You always horrify me. And with movies. Not, maybe in life.
First of all, I'm going to get angry for a second. Okay. I don't know who the heck you watched It Follows with, but it was not me.
Yeah, we watched It Follows together.
No, we didn't.
Whatever. Oh, I think I've just seen... Oh, my God. I literally think I've seen enough top tens and countdowns of horror movies that...
To think you've seen It Follows.
Because they talk about the plot so much. I feel like I've seen that movie.
You haven't.
But I know everything about it. I know the whole plot and the twist and how it works and the machinations. And I've seen a lot of the clips online. Oh, my God. I've, like...
You spoiled it for yourself.
I've my brain filled in the gaps for the for the rest of the movie and everything else. I feel like I've seen it.
Oh, that's okay.
Crazy.
We need to watch it.
Yeah, I guess I gotta watch it. Well, anyway, we're doing a sequel to that. I know everything about it, so
okay,
we'll do a sequel to that. And then we've got another one, A Quiet Place 2.
Yes.
And then the third is, of course, a project we've near and dear to our hearts, Chucky in Space.
Yeah.
It's about fucking time we send that puppet son of a bitch to outer space. Where's he going? We'll get to it in a minute. It's the best one. We're saving it for last. So first off, It Follows 2. It Follows was... Well, first off, I mean, let's break down the first film since I'm such an expert on it.
The first film was basically a PSA about STDs.
Yeah, right? It was literally about... It was like an allegory for sexually transmitted diseases,
yeah.
Or PSA, if you will, but like either or. It's basically the idea is that this lady meets a dude at a party, they're partying hard, and it gets sexy.
That's not what happens.
Sex happens, and then she wakes up, and he's like, "Look," and she's tied up, And he's like, all right, look, this thing has been following me. It's going to follow you now. And that's, and you just pass it off from person to person later. And he walks away.
Well, okay, that's not what happened.
That's like the most generic explanation.
You have, oh boy. Okay.
He has sex with her and she catches the monster.
They go on a date.
It's a sex monster and she catches it.
They go on a date and then they have sex in his car and then he chloroforms her and then he ties her to a chair.
Yeah, right? That's basically what I said.
And that's not at all what you said.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, that's what's at a party and they get sexy times happen and then, he chloroforms her, ties her to a chair. I said all that. And then
okay.
This happens.
Yep. And then you see this random naked person walking towards them, like up a cliff.
Slowly. Fucking slow.
They're always walking, and that's the most terrifying part because you'd think you'd be able to outrun this thing, and you cannot.
And Max Landis did a funny review about It Follows where he's like, it's the most easy to defeat villain of all time. As long as you keep running, as long as you keep walking away from it, and then you could just pass it off to somebody else.
But it's not, though, clearly, if you've seen the movie, which you clearly have not, but that's beside
the point. Well, I mean, what
point.
Is it? Okay, so it follows and it kills you, right? So then you just pass it off to another person. So wouldn't you just keep passing it off from person to person to person?
Theoretically, but if it gets the person that you gave it to, it comes back to you.
Okay. Man, I'm losing it.
So
that's the thing. I feel like I've seen this movie, but I haven't. It's bizarre. I thought I watched it with you.
No.
Sorry, carry on. Let's do this. We're making a sequel.
They make this seemingly easy to defeat thing. We never find out what it is. That's the biggest thing.
That's
we don't know what
it's
it
so
is.
So terrifying because you it's
it
you
can
know,
look like anything.
You're aware of like it's like the Slender Man thing. You're aware of Slender Man, you know like it's what Slender Man kind of is, mm-hmm. but there's no real explanation as to it. Like, yeah, it came from the internet, it was a meme, but like, is it an alien? Is it a ghost? What the fuck is Slender Man? Mm-hmm. So like It Follows, is it an alien? A ghost? Is it both? Like what is an alien ghost?
No
holy shit. But anyway.
But it if the only way you can get rid of it is to pass it on, then it never dies. So this
yes.
series could literally never end. It
That's
could
a
be
good
a
point.
Never-ending film
yeah,
series.
Yeah, really. I mean, like, because it just keep passing it on. The only way you could get rid of It Follows is if you, like, did a Grudge mashup thing. And, the like, maybe, like, yeah. Or
Speaking
The Ring.
Speaking of that, The Ring versus The Grudge,
right?
That didn't end well for anyone involved.
Yeah.
I just saw the ending. It didn't. It just didn't. No.
We were talking about that the other day, and I was like... Yeah. I was like, hey, wouldn't it be crazy if like the if the girl from The Ring and the girl from The Grudge, like somehow they got the tape into that home, and then it's like then you could get like you they would cancel each other out and they'd kill each other. And you're like, they already made that movie. And I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That movie
yeah.
exists? And they're like, and, yeah, you're like, yeah, it's on, you could get it online. And I went and I was like, oh my God, it's a real movie where like the Ring chick fights the Grudge
yeah.
chick and it's fucking insane, and it's a Japanese film, obviously, because the originals were Japanese.
Yeah.
So it's the best thing the best thing ever in the world. Like,
yeah.
It's insane. Like, you're like,
Which,
really? They're doing that?
Spoiler alert, because we're never going to watch that movie.
No, right? I want to.
I watched
really want
the
to.
Ending, and
yeah.
they combine into, like, a super monster. Neither of them
I was,
kill each
I
other.
I just said I was going to watch it.
No, you didn't. You said
yeah,
you weren't going to
Yeah, I just
watch
said
it.
I was going to watch
oh,
it.
Sorry.
I literally, you were so excited to spoil
really
it
excited.
For me and the rest of the
and
universe that
it.
You literally steamrolled over
okay.
me to say, here you go, fuckers. Okay. It's about my thoughts.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Now you know how it ends.
You're a dick.
But my point is you don't want anything to combine with It Follows because based on how that movie ended, it just
well,
it
now that
end
I
well.
Know
it wouldn't end well.
Well,
but anyway, like it's hard to describe and have an in-depth explanation for a sequel to It Follows because it's so simple. Like, the movie is so
simple
but
just,
so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, the title says exactly what happens. It follows.
That basically, the sequel would basically be the same as the first one. You just need to present whatever it is in scarier ways.
Totally.
And like, more personal. Like, there were a couple different things where you have to be watching really carefully to catch it. And I saw It Follows twice, so I was able to see it a couple different times.
Yeah.
Like...
I think it's mainly anticipation.
It presents itself. Yeah, it's the anticipation.
I'm sorry to just jump on that really quick, but honestly, it's the anticipation of it because you're sort of building and building the tension, but you never really deliver something, so it just feels like this eerie, unsettled business the whole time.
Well, yeah, and also what I find really unsettling about It Follows is that basically what it does is wears you down, because, yeah, theoretically you can outrun it, but eventually you have to sleep.
Well, it's
eventually,
like,
you're going to stop paying attention.
Same premise with Freddy Krueger and Nightmare on Elm Street is that, you know, like, you got to go to bed, man. And Freddy's just, like, waiting to jump in your brain. Be like, hey, yeah, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
That's not how Freddy sounds. He's not from the Bronx or Queens.
Yeah, and it can appear out of nowhere, and no one except the person it's following can see it. So there's no one that can protect you.
Right. It's probably, like, it's one of the, I'd say, easily defeatable in the sense that all you gotta do is just kind of keep running until you pass it on to someone else.
So
that's
keep
pretty
running, get laid.
Well,
easier said than done.
What do you mean? Do you know how many prostitutes and escorts and call girls and gigolos and sex workers and people who pay to fuck will just pay to fuck? You could literally pass it off to the prostitutes and they'll just treat it like any other VD in the world.
I wonder if it can kill you while you're having sex.
That's
or
the sequel.
That's like,
I literally figured out our sequel for It Follows. A brothel. A prostitute ring. A brothel.
Ooh.
Gets a hold of it in Amsterdam or something. And because it's based on sex, they just pass it around from, like, John to John. But because it's a brothel, it keeps coming back.
That would be really interesting.
And then you
have
a group of women who are, like, sex workers who are essentially trying to, like, fight this thing with sex. That's a fucked up. I know, right? I'm trying to make It Follows 2 into a softcore porn, but hear me out. It's a sex monster. It's based on sex. The only way to defeat it, sex. Hear me out. Sorry.
Yeah, it's funny because it's funny you say that about it coming back, because one of the ways when they finally believe the main girl in the movie, one of her friends agrees to have sex with her, but then they end up, like, falling in love, so they just want to have sex. So then he passes it back to her because they have sex again.
Well, that's stupid. You should have, like, passed it off to somebody else really quick. So that's my idea. That's where I'm going with this. Is why not do the brothel, or why not do the whorehouse or something, like. And then, like, these prostitutes keep having this thing that just, they're like, what the fuck? They'll pass it away. They'll pass it on to the next person right away. But then if it's in that, like, area, it'll still keep coming back. And they'll be like, what is this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And so this literally the only ones who figure it out are the prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my sequel idea for It Follows 2, is hookers figure this out and they band together to fight this thing, because it's more deadly than any other VD they've ever come across. This is the ultimate VD for the prostitutes. Like, this is a literal, like, monster that goes and kills.
I'm
like
down
you.
For that.
Like, I think that's, like, I can't think of any other way you could do that. I mean, you can do it so many other ways, but that's the way I want to do it.
Because
I think it'd be more intense, you know? And then you could, the whole sex trade thing, you could get into that. Political overtones, you get to that dark, seedy world, you know, pimps and, you know, gang members, maybe, I don't know, mafia, why not? Like, you can get into all kinds of crazy shit with It Follows too, because the sex industry could be a part of all of that shit.
And yeah, that's true.
So they could even pass it on to, like, some mafia guy and use it as a weapon. They could weaponize it for, well, it's not it,
not,
there isn't
not
it, right?
It.
So it's It Follows. It's the Follows monster. The Follows? Follow?
I don't know.
What would you call the monster from It Follows?
They never identify it.
Because, like, I think that was probably the biggest problem, is you always, like, with the horror movies for catching on, you have to have, like, a fun name for the monster. Like, Freddy, that's a fun name. Jason, kind of fun. Michael, like, these are, like, names, like, hey, it's like someone you know. It's like people in your school or something that you grew up with. But, you know, then you've got, like Leatherface.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, holy shit, that sounds fucked up.
Yeah.
You know? And then Hannibal Lecter, and it's like, wait, what? And Hannibal the Cannibal, and you're like, ooh, that's intense as well. So the whole idea is, like, you know, you want to give a monster kind of a relatable name. I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Babadook, the whole thing, that's a relatable name. It sounds like a children's rhyme. The Babadook, Babadook.
Yes, or the alternative with the relatability that they attach to It Follows is that it can turn into anyone. And in the movie, it turns into both the girl's grandmother and her father. So it presents itself as someone you know.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing is it's a subversive monster as well. Yeah. It'll appear to you as people you know.
Or is just a really messed up image.
But that's the other, here's the other part. You didn't explain the other part of the monster, which people might already know, but what's the other part? You see it.
Oh, yeah, I did explain
it. But nobody else does.
No one else sees it. Only the person.
Oh, you did say that? Well, now I feel stupid for embellishing. The point being is that no one else sees this monster. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I keep looking at is that, like, you see it, and then no one else does. So you're like, fuck, how do I convince people? Like, so in the lead character in the movie, she's like trying to explain, like, where is it? Where is it? And they're like, they're trying to help her find it. That was one of the scenes I definitely remember seeing where she's in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And the monster's trying. I love how you're sitting there in blank face, like, what? And then finally it dawns on you.
You said swimming pool, and I was trying to
remember
which
scene. Towards
the
end of the movie, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? See? I'm getting there.
Yeah, that was in the trailer, though.
So, like, but you know, the scene where she's in the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, fucking shoot it, fucking shoot it. And he's like, I don't see it. Where is it? To the left. Okay, now shoot. No, go up. To the actually right more. It's moving. Oh, shit, you better follow it. I don't see it. All right. It's like then it turns into a whole bit where they're like, they're trying to, you know. And it's like, just fucking, where are we? The
There's
Marx Brothers shoot
that.
This fucker. I'm like, how?
I didn't want to give anything to away. I'm just alluding that they find a way around that.
Well, it's too late now. You've already ruined the grudge. Oh, God. It and it follows. Ugh. It follows it. It follows it.
Hey.
It follows it. Mash up.
Yeah, but then you got to get somebody to sleep with Pennywise.
Well, you know how many fucking freaky fangirls there are out there? There's fan fiction for all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
You know, in this country? With everyone's creepy obsession with clowns. Yeah, I don't think you'd have a hard time finding some creepy person. You'd be like, yeah, I'd fuck a clown. Like, yeah, this is in this country, it wouldn't be hard to do. You put an ad out anywhere. You'll find 25 people, I guarantee at least. Regardless, it follows it. That's another movie. That'll be a part of our mashup. We got to do mashups where we like take two movies and just shove them together and see what happens. That'll be the next. Why not? That'll be the next one we do. I gotta write that down. Shit. So I guess that's my idea for the sequel for It Follows 2. Would you want to add to that, or how would you like to end that? Because that's my setup. What ending do you think would be appropriate? Like,
see, that's hard because, like I said, they set up this creature. I feel the same way about The Grudge because theoretically, The Grudge can't be killed. Which is why there were three movies.
Well, and the Ring Monster,
four
right?
Movies.
The Ring Lady, she can't be killed either, right?
I mean, she can.
How?
They haven't. The problem is...
The
Ring, they haven't said that she can't be killed. In The Grudge, they said that she can't be killed.
So I guess for It Follows 2, we're going under the idea that it's going to be prostitutes... Maybe in a brothel, maybe not. We don't know. Like, we're just going with the idea of the ones that keep noticing the monster the most are the prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it keeps coming back to them. Because it's like a VD. And who would have the VDs in town the most? Like, the local prostitutes, I'm sorry to say. So, like, you'd have to go, like, that route. And then I think the only way you could end it is like, the military gets a hold of it or something. And they try to weaponize the It Follows monster by, like, sending it, like, as an assassin or some shit.
I mean, maybe.
That would be dope.
That
Think
could
how
be
cool would that would be.
And I feel like that actually raises... Making it, like, a brothel actually raises the stakes because it seems like it's a very intelligent being, whatever it is.
Right.
So it would know if it just presented itself as a John... It would be able to kill so many prostitutes before anyone even caught on.
I guess, unless prostitutes aren't stupid. I hate
no,
to say
I know.
That. Like, you'd think that they're dumb prostitutes just have sex. Look, in order to fucking survive in that world, they must be pretty smart, and they must be pretty clever, and they must be pretty badass, and they're dealing with men that could kill them at any moment. So if they're able to do that job, they're probably going to be able to fight that it monster's follow, like the monster run away from it. Like,
mm-hmm.
They'll be able to notice danger and run. You know, they're not stupid. They're as stupid as society wants to claim. They're much more resourceful and they're much more clever than people will let on.
No, I know that. But, like, before there's a level of danger, it would be easy for it to disguise itself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's my point. So
yeah.
it would be able to get close enough to
It would go in and Ted Bundy them, basically. Like, just bum rush attack them. But how? But it's based on sex, though. It would only go after the one prostitute, though.
Yeah, but then it would go back to whoever had it first, which in turn would go back to the brothel based on your theory.
If that's the case, but what if it's a prostitute that caught it from a John first? Then it would go back to the original John.
Which would go back to the brothel.
If the John went, but that's if it like came back to the brothel, you know what I mean? Like, but that's the thing, that's how you could keep it coming back to the brothel, because mm-hmm. it's just cycling through the prostitutes and the Johns. It's just get some detective on the case. It's like, you know, he's like some haggard, like, oh, God damn it, like, I get this fucking monster. And then he's like, I'm noticing a pattern, chief. And it's like, well, what's the pattern? And it's like, well, it's there's fucking, and it's a fuck monster. You're get the fuck out of here. You're suspended. He's like, fuck you, man. Well, I'm going rogue. And then, like, it's Gary Sinise. That's who. That's my detective is Gary Sinise in this one.
Well, I feel like there needs to be, there are, just like any sort of job, there's different levels. So
right.
I feel like for that plot to work, it would either have to be one end of the spectrum or another. Being either a really, really elite sort of escort service or a really, really, really like scummy
elite.
Escort service.
The elite escort service, you know why? You can sell that better. That's a better sell. If you go elite, you go high-end hookers or whatever instead of like low-end brothel, or you could do low-end, or you could have it be like different brothels. Like you could be following I don't like the idea of following the because if you want to like have female leads, I'd say the prostitutes doing the female lead is the best thing. So I guess the idea, for me, with sequels, it's about raising the stakes and it's about mm-hmm. heightening the shit. Raising the stakes for the prostitutes to get to a point where it's like, okay, they're now like using, like they're not using it, but they're now realizing what's going on. They're finding the problems and they're trying to sort it out. I'd say the only way you could take it to the next logical step would be the way I said earlier when I was trying to end it before, was you actually let the government get a hold of it, weaponize it, turn it into something that, like, the prostitutes then go. You see the same prostitute now. She's, like, hooking up with some dude who looks like he has a lot of money and he's got a lot of security guards.
Mm-hmm.
And she has sex with him and then leaves. And then he's just sitting there. Next thing you know, fucking thing comes in, slowly walk towards him, and then mm-hmm. the movie ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sequel after that could be government's using it or some shit like that. I don't know. You could take it to, like, a Resident Evil level if you want.
Yeah.
That's how I'd do it. That's how I'd like to see it. I don't know about you. Do you feel the same way? It's up to you.
No, I agree.
Okay. So, fair enough. You're welcome, Hollywood. You're welcome. We did it again. You're supposed to say...
Oh. You're welcome, Hollywood.
Yeah, right. That's the whole point of the segment. You're welcome, Hollywood. Anyway, next, we got A Quiet Place 2. Even quieter. Silent Hill.
Oh, no.
Quiet Place 2, Silent Hill. Copyright issue.
Does that mean A Quiet Place was a prequel?
Oh, we didn't know we had. Shit. Whoa, connected universe, shared universe. Silent Hill is a prequel to Quiet Place is a prequel to Silent Hill. Why not? Why the fuck not? That'd be crazy. But it was all over the world. When last we left off in A Quiet Place, spoilers for A Quiet Place. If you haven't seen mm-hmm. A Quiet Place or any of these other movies, it's kind of late in the game. We're like half an hour in and we're saying spoilers. But spoilers for everything from this point on. A Quiet Place was John Krasinski's sort of debut directorial film. He wrote it. Co-wrote it with some other people and then directed it. Emily Blunt was in it, a few others, obvi. It ends with the mom and the daughter and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Krasinski passes away. The kids mm-hmm. are still around and the mom's still around. She just, and then the baby. But the idea is that they found a way to kill the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And the conceit of the movie is, well, if that's the way that they found how to kill the monsters, then logically they'll be able to find other people to kill the monsters, and then they'll use their technology to kill. And then that, from then on, we have hope and a future, and everything is now saved because mm-hmm. of that. That's the idea with that ending, is that she's like, you know, oh, okay, it's going to be okay now because now we have a weapon to fight the monsters. And so taking that idea... I don't think we should jump ahead to where they're now on a military base and, like, they're all like, you know, okay, now we're going to meet up with the contacts in Cincinnati and, like, you know, like, shit like that. I think we need to pick up, like, literally a few months after. Only a month or so after. They have this ability and this technology to fight these things. but they don't know how to get to other survivors. They're stuck in their home. They're stuck in their quiet place. Like, mm-hmm. but they have a way to kill the monsters when they show up, and now they can like make some more noise than usual, and they have a better way of detecting the monsters and shit. But like they can't like logically, how do you like where do you go once you have that ability in a post-apocalyptic world? Where do you go to actually like take care of this and make this happen? You know, and they don't know. Like, they can't leave. If they leave, they're in more danger. And if they get more of those things, like, they don't know if they're going to, like, cause a whole herd of them to show up or something. And they talk about it in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, like, the whole thing could literally be about them trying to figure out how to get this saving thing to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think A Quiet Place 2 should be about, is that they're trying to figure out how to pass this on to the rest of the world, but they're stuck at their home. They're stuck in a quiet place. So now, instead of like trying to survive in their home, they're trying to sneak around and get out of it so they could save the world. That's where I'm going with it. And again, that's just me going super intense. It doesn't have to be that. That's just where I'm starting.
Yeah, no, and I agree and disagree with you. I think it should
Great.
Be...
I like the disagree part more because I want to hear something different.
I think it should be immediately after a direct sequel. Because I do think that there is, in a sequel, you have to raise the stakes.
You're right. You're right? Absolutely right. Well, that to me would and be like the stakes that I would raise.
Yeah. I think the idea of them having to venture out of their home to try to find other people to help. Because
they could now save
the
world.
Stakes.
They realize they can save the world now. So it's like, fuck, what do we do? We can't just keep this to ourselves, yeah. Mom. We got to go. And she's like, oh, I'm going to keep you safe. You know?
Yeah. But
signing
I
everything.
Also don't think that them being trapped in their home would be a particularly good plot, because according
right?
to the
then,
first one,
yeah.
there were only three in their area, and based on what they know now, it wouldn't
right.
be hard for them to kill them all.
But that could be the first part of the film, is that they're trying so hard, like the mom and the daughter are fighting, because like the daughter's older now, and like the mm-hmm. son's older now, and they're like, we have got to go, we could save the world with this, I don't want to live on this farm anymore, blah blah blah, and they're trying to find a way how to get out. And so they're testing the borders of the, but you're right. We have to raise the stakes. We got to get them out of that homestead area mm-hmm. and somewhere else. And I think the first like half of that movie should be about them leaving and trying to find somewhere else to go to meet people. And then the second half should be them just trying to fucking survive because they realize how shitty the world is
mm-hmm.
and they're screwed. And they're like, I think the last half of the movie should be them just like Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
I know it's a stretch, right? But you're right, raise the stakes. If they have a weapon that could destroy these things, but they don't know if it could take a lot at once, and they don't know how to spread it really, and they're still figuring it out, they're going to be in a mad rush to get anywhere mm-hmm. for help or survivors. And the moment they venture out into that world where these things are so fucking fast and so fucking powerful and can destroy anything within seconds...
Mm-hmm.
And they've got to run. They can't stop running. Like, they're running all night. They're running all day. They're running for, like, 2-3 days in a row, Mad Max style, where they just can't stop moving. They can't take naps. They can't go anywhere. They're lucky if they can find a soundproof anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea, is that the first half of the movie is them slowly getting ready to do this, and they're preparing, and they're getting ready to go venture out. And then the last half of the movie is, fuck, we were so stupid doing this. We should have stayed home. Now we're just in a mad dash to do anything, just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose then a lot of the stuff that made the first movie so good, which is the pacing.
Mm-hmm.
It was slow, and it was methodical. The first half of the movie will be slow and methodical, but then the second half would just be kind of... It would be all over. It would be like my idea is like Jason Bourne. Like it would
yeah.
be like Bourne Identity. Like it would just be shaky camera. Like they're running in alleyways. Monsters are, you know, then it would change the whole idea of the film. And it wouldn't necessarily be the original idea. But then it's a sequel, so you'd have to take it. And so my idea would end up being more Hollywood than anything. Because, like, I feel like that's something I've seen before, is my idea.
Well, then,
oh, that sucks. Why am I so commercial?
Well, then... We could meet somewhere in the middle, right? So
yeah.
instead of having them venture too far out, they, instead of venturing into this big action-filled, theoretically, city, right?
Sure.
When you think of
well,
that,
you
they
know,
would
right?
go to
I don't
the
know
nearest
why I was thinking city, but I was thinking like nearest area, populated area.
Yeah. So instead, let's say they just go to the next town
Ooh,
where
okay.
the population is still small.
But
therefore,
they're just trying
the
to find
threat is still small. So they're like building it up.
So they're still like, but yeah, you're right. They're like, well, let's just go to the next town over and see if we can find anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but what do we do if those things show up? We'll kill them. But what if more show up? We'll try and kill them too. Well, then what? Well, then we'll die. You know, it's like, well, I don't want it. Well, I don't want you to die. It's like, well, I don't want to live here till I die alone. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, I would rather die out there trying to fight these things than here slowly dying with, you know what I mean? Like shit mm-hmm. like that. Like, I know, right? Fuck it. We've heard this before, but yeah. It'll be done better. It'll be John Krasinski will be directing it. It'll be a much better version. This is just the bare bones outline pitch.
Yeah.
This is, I guess you'd call this a fly by night pitch or like a red eye pitch. It's just literally like fucking overnight. Like, here you go. I don't want to go Hollywood commercial. I don't. I want to raise the stakes. But how do you maintain the quality of that film in the sequel? You know what I mean? Like, how do you expand upon that? How do you raise the stakes? How do you add new stuff? Well, I mean, if it's like you don't want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But you don't want to subvert expectations too much, and then you don't want to not deliver. So it's like, that's a harder film because it's Oscar caliber, that film, A Quiet Place.
Well, I actually think a good comparison for the type of quote-unquote adventure they would be going on for pacing and for stuff like that would be The Road.
Yeah.
Because it would be that sort of...
Ooh. Yes. Yes, The Road. You're right. The first half should be like the start of the first movie mm-hmm. or whatever. And then the second half should be like The Road, where you're right. They're on the literally like they're the shopping cart, like, you know, just like mm-hmm. they can't drive cars because it'll, you know, like whatever.
Well, it can't
like,
be a shopping can't cart.
You know what I mean? Like basically the idea of, mm-hmm. is that the same idea of The Road, where it's like this really fucked up post-apocalyptic world. Mm-hmm. And they're having to, yet again, like in the first movie, slowly and methodically move to another town
mm-hmm.
to try and find survivors and maybe take out some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got like even better skills now. They're even better at being quiet and maintaining that quiet. Like, you know, they're like fucking ninjas now, basically.
Well, not necessarily. They still have a baby with them.
But I know, but I mean, like, they're still fucking ninjas, basically. But the baby isn't, obviously.
No.
It's a baby. Come on. Like, I'm trying to paint a picture here, and then you're jamming this factual shit in the way, and it's really fucking up my flow, lady. So the baby will be handled in a soundproof titanium, like they found something from NASA, I don't know, like they found some shit from an airplane, like a black box, and like they rigged it to have oxygen tanks inside of it and shit, and a ventilator, and so like the monsters or a bomb could go off and like the baby will be completely fine, nothing would happen to it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like it doesn't matter, like so the baby will be safe no matter what. It's just now the issue is, if the baby won't be killed no matter what inside of that box, what if those creatures get that box and run off? That's something that I'm curious about. What's that story? Or let's say they're by, like, the box ends up by their nest or some shit. You know what I mean? Then you've got a whole other fucked up thing going on with that movie.
I mean, yes.
That's raising the stakes. Like, they get away, they try and find the town, then the baby gets, like, the baby box gets taken. And it's a soundproof baby box, but they think there's food or something in there. They don't know. And so, like, it's just in their crib. It's just literally, they're hanging out, and it's like, in their den or something. That's where I'm kind of going. I'm just, as far as raising stakes and on top of raising stakes, because the first movie, the baby was like in a crib floating,
mm-hmm.
and if it woke up and cried, it would be a whole thing. In mine, it would be sort of like that, but the baby would be in a box. Mm-hmm. But the box has like, there's some sort of like thing with the filter where if the filter of the oxygen after a certain period of time runs out, it'll automatically open. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, so there's a timer. So now we got a ticking bomb, but it's a baby bomb. If the baby door opens, the baby cries, it's going to be one dead baby.
I mean,
so the idea is that now it's like that timer, if that oxygen runs out, it'll open. Oh, good, the baby will breathe. But if the baby cries, then they'll eat it. Fuck. So like then you've got that whole idea.
I buy that more than I buy them taking the box, only because in the first movie they were less intelligent and more primal.
Yes.
So I don't think...
No, I don't think they would take it on, like, to be smart. I think they took it, like, in my idea, they take a bunch of random things to, like, scavenge or whatever, or salvage, and, like, they're looking for... because they don't just eat humans, like they eat other stuff, like they need other things to sustain themselves, and they can smell what's in there, or not smell it, they can hear vibrations or whatever, they know something's dangling around in there because it keeps moving, but they don't know what it is, so like they keep bopping it, and it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it, that would be the idea if they got a hold of it. But you could also do the timer thing where they have the baby box and they've got the oxygen for the baby box and the filters, but after a certain period of time, the baby's going to run out of oxygen, and that mm-hmm. door's going to open automatically. So they got to find oxygen. So they got to go to hospital, to hospital, to hospital.
Yeah.
Then you got to deal with all kinds of shit mm-hmm. in between. And then they got to get the oxygen to try and find the baby. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm, like, but it's such a complex film, you know? Like, because mm-hmm. as simple as the premise is, when you've got such a simple premise, it almost becomes masterful. Like when you see Back to the Future, it's like you watch that movie and you're like, damn, ABC, like this mm-hmm. is amazing, with some subplot stuff and then the jokes, like this is like masterful storytelling. It's like A Quiet Place, it's like ABC, it's like you see that movie and you're like watching something for the first time, you're like, damn, other movies will be compared to this.
Yes,
like absolutely. This thing, you watch this thing, you go, I've never seen this before, or maybe I have, but it feels new.
Mm-hmm.
And then so to me, like, do we meet other new people along the way? Because in the sequels, you have to introduce new characters. So do we have a new love interest for Emily Blunt? Or do we have a love interest for the daughter who's older now? Like some, like, rogue boy who's, like, surviving in the wild on his own or something. And he's deaf, too. Or, no, he's blind. No, wait, that doesn't make sense. Or maybe it does. Maybe he has a disability of some sort as well. Like he has a cleft palate, or he's mute or something, and he's not able to speak anyway, so she can't hear, so it doesn't fucking matter.
No, I mean, yes and no. I think that's adding an unnecessary plot point.
Because what if, like, well, think about the people who survived this thing. People who are quiet.
Mm-hmm.
If he lost his ability to speak, or if his vocal cords were ripped out or something at a young age, and he had some issue where he couldn't speak, he would have to learn sign language to communicate.
That's true.
So he wouldn't have to be deaf. He could just be mute.
Mm-hmm.
And she could say, are you deaf? And sign, and he'd be like, no, I'm just mute, you know? And then they kind of, oh, and then they fall in love, you know, or whatever. It's like, I can't talk anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that. There you go. Cute moment, right? Isn't that? Oh, sweet. There you mm-hmm. go. Boom. You're welcome. You're welcome, Hollywood. We did it again.
We don't know how we'd end it.
How about this? The military weaponizes the monsters. And every horror movie is going to end with the military weaponizing whatever shit and then turning against the enemy.
They use the It Follows monster to go after the aliens.
Yep. After the boondoggles, the boonies. I'm digging our elements. I think A Quiet Place 2, our version, there are so many really decent elements there. But I don't think it's as cohesive because we're kind of timid because the movie was so good. It was such a good movie that, you know, to do your own nerdy fan expectation film, you're like, God damn, I just want to see them do something with it because it's Oscar caliber.
Yeah.
Do you think they should do a sequel to Night of Frost? They're going to, clearly. Do you think they're going to do a sequel to A Quiet Place? Or do you think it's untouchable?
I think it's already in the talks.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the reason why I was asking was, I don't think they should make a sequel to it. I think they should just let it stay as one film, as a one-off, and just leave it. I think, like, Boondock. What is it called? The Babadook. Sorry, Boondock Saints. The Babadook. The writer and the director of the film said, mm-hmm. explicitly stated that she never wants to do a sequel to The Babadook. She doesn't want to turn it into a franchise. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want it to be any bullshit. One and done, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want anyone to fuck with it after that. And I'm like, yeah, good for you. That's badass. That's how it should be. When Stanley Kubrick did The Shining, he didn't do The Shining 2.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was like, you know, I know like there is a sequel to it called Doctor Sleep, but that's like, I think Stephen King's son wrote that or something.
Joe King.
Yeah, Joe King. But Ewan McGregor's playing older Danny Torrance.
Nice.
Red Rum Kid. Ewan McGregor's playing the grown-up Red Rum Kid. That's hilarious.
That's funny.
So, anyway, blah, blah, blah. Point being that A Quiet Place 2 is just, for our nerdy brains, we're not Oscar-caliber people. We human beings, yes, but filmmakers, no. definitely not. So we're going to leave it to the pros on that one. But that's where we'd like, that's just our ideas. I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of it is stuff that you might actually see in that movie, to be honest, that makes sense. But I don't want my expectations to be completely subverted all the time. I want that every once in a while, like when it works. But to do a whole film predicated on subverting expectations, I don't know. It seems a little unfair to the people who are... anyway, so no movie in particular, really. Just that seems to be a trick that films are trying to pull lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, hey, I see it. Anyway, next one, last one, the one we've been waiting for. This is the moneymaker. This is the crowd pleaser. Chucky in space. I don't know even how to begin Chucky in space other than... it needs to happen. Yeah. Freddy needs to go to space too.
I mean,
we got Jason in space. We had Leprechaun on the moon. We need so where's Chucky going? Yeah. Why is he in space? How's he getting to space?
Dracula got to go to space.
Yeah, Dracula too. So we actually had a nerdy. We were discussing this in life.
Yeah.
Anyway, and this is what actually caused us to want to discuss this on the show. Chucky in space. So we were talking about how would Chucky get in space? How could you get him in space? And I had an idea that. It was some astronaut who, you know, he had a son, and the son had a good guy doll, and the son passed away, and no one knows how the son passed away, but he had a good guy doll, and it was his favorite doll, and they used to talk all the time, and his name was Chucky, and so the astronaut dad, you know, is like, well, my son's passed away. It's dark. It's fucking dark, but mm-hmm. I'm going dark on this. My son passed away, but this is his favorite doll, so this is like me taking my son to space with me because he always wanted to go to space with me. So they bring Chucky on the fucking space station. And next thing you know, it's Chucky in space. Just stabbing everyone. Cosmonauts, yes. Astronauts, everyone gets stabbed by Chucky.
I have an alternate that's not so dark. Doesn't involve
right?
killing
so
children.
Mine's so fucking dark, though. Like, because like, mine ends up like the kid died or something. And, you know, the dad's just like an astronaut who takes, like, right? Like, mine's fucked up dark.
I think... someone else in the family got the kid Chucky as a gift,
mm-hmm.
and the kid was just straight up creeped out by this doll. Nothing had happened. He just got bad vibes about this doll.
Okay.
And his dad was going to go into space, so in order to get rid of it, he was like, Daddy, take my doll to remember me. Take my doll. I want to give
mine
you a present.
Okay, mine's too dark. Yours is just too stupid.
No, it's not.
Here, just take my doll to space.
I want you
okay.
to have this.
No problem. I think the father would be like, you know what, son? I'm not taking your fucking doll to space.
No,
it's not possible,
he would totally
asshole.
Be like,
it's too big and you're stupid.
No, he wouldn't.
How about, well, why don't we meet somewhere in the middle? What if it's the son and it's the doll, but the son was so freaked out by the doll that he, when he went, and this is in the 80s when security was more lax, and the son was in NASA, his dad worked at NASA, the son took the doll and said, the NASA said, well, we got a time capsule here, and we're going to put stuff in this time capsule to remember the past from, you know, in the future, mm-hmm. from the 80s. So we want to remember all these things from the 80s in the future. So bring all your stuff from, and the kid's like, fuck, this doll's trying to kill me and my family. I'm going to put it in this time capsule and blast it in the fucking space.
Yeah.
So the kid, we'll meet somewhere in the middle there. So the dad's like, okay. Come to the NASA thing, and yeah, if you want to put anything in the time capsule, it's like, yes, this doll, please, like, put it to space. What, this doll? Why? I thought it was your favorite. Nope, no reason, just put it in space. I want the world to know about it in the future or whatever. The son being a kid, not realizing, thinking he's going to save everyone.
Yeah.
And so then they go, okay, and they blast the Chucky doll into space in a time capsule to represent what the 80s were or whatever. I don't know, like, or some shit like that. Or it's in a time capsule. And the idea is that the kid grows up, becomes an astronaut, and, you know, kind of just thinks the whole Chucky thing was just in his head. He's like, I was just a crazy kid. So he decides that they're going to take the time capsule when they go to Mars, and they're going to plant it on Mars. Because uh-huh. it's going to be like, hey, just remember human beings, what humans were like. And the kid's like, my dad and I helped make this time capsule. And I remember I put something in here that, for some reason, my brain, traumatized brain, can't remember that I've repressed. I thought I was just having imaginations of bad dreams. But really, so then they bring the Chucky doll with them. And somehow, uh-oh, the new astronaut guy, the intern. Oh, geez, I fucking, I'm trying to move the crate. No, geez, Rick. You know, it's fucking Morty, yeah. apparently. God damn it. And it's the next thing you know, fucking, the dumbass intern drops the crate, and all the 80s stuff spills out, like fucking Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
You know, fanny pack. Is that 80s or 90s?
80s.
And Walkman and fucking Chucky.
Yep.
Spills out onto Mars. And it's a good guy doll thing. And so the intern's like, sorry, Rick. I got to put, you know, and he goes over and he's picking up the doll. He's putting it all away. And next thing you know, he jumps out, disconnects the guy's oxygen. Because Chucky doesn't need air to fucking breathe.
No.
He's a doll. He doesn't need a fucking space suit. That's why secret fucking powers. Chucky's a doll, motherfucker. He doesn't operate on the same shit. So he can hang out and so they blast him out the airlock. Good. Psh. Good luck. Goodbye, fucker. He's like, I don't need oxygen to fucking live. Oh, shit. He's a doll. And he's just crawling around the outside of the space station, like plugging holes in it.
Yes.
And shit. Like, fuck, I'm going to kill you. And you're like, how do we stop a doll in space? And Chucky is secretly the most effective weapon in space.
Yes.
Because he doesn't need atmosphere. He doesn't freeze up. He's made of plastic and shit. So it's just, you're good. Like, he's good. We're fucked. So,
I agree with all of those things.
So I think that would be the way I'd try to do it. That's how I'd try and do Chucky in space. That would be the lamest, most B-movie way to kind of get it to happen.
I love that.
I think that's, I want to see that.
I love
but
that.
But is it
though.
On Mars? Because the idea, like,
it doesn't matter because they don't get where they're going.
I think they should be on the space station and they're making a stop before they go to Mars, and in transit, like, they fuck up the cargo and it gets open, and so Chucky's alive, but then, like, they try to escape, but they can't go back to Earth for some reason because, like, not because they're worried about Chucky going back, so we can't send him back. It's like, no, it's like they can't go back to Earth. It's something about they're closer to Mars than they are to Earth in the way station that they're at. They're in the space station. And so, like, they're like, well, we're closer to, if we take, well, the surprise that we have, we don't have enough fuel to get back to Earth and make a successful landing, we'd just be like, we would die, it'd be emergency, it'd be absolute chaos, and we have too many people to take back. So we've got, best thing to do is to go all the way to Mars, because it's a shorter distance, there's more supplies there, we have refills.
I have an idea. So, they're on the space station, something hits the space station, damaging both their navigation system and knocking over the cargo so the time capsule opens and lets Chucky out.
Sure.
Which is why they can't go back to Earth.
Either way, I think that's the way it needs, that's a way it could go.
Yes.
And I think it's the most B-movie Chucky appropriate way to go with that. And also, it would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
Chucky's in space killing astronauts and people. What the fuck? That's the and then he's on Mars and he's like, "I'm on Mars, motherfucker." And you're like, "Oh shit, Chucky's like taking over Mars now."
See, it's funny because part of me also feels bad. I'm like, "We have to send Tiffany. Chucky can't be alone."
It's not about being alone. They wouldn't care. They just want to get rid of Tiffany. Like, "Well, fuck, he's on. Well, great. We'll send her too. We'll send the son. Send Andy Serkis too." Didn't he play the son? He did the son's voice?
I don't remember.
He did the son's voice. And yeah, because remember they had that androgynous kid?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Seed of Chucky?
Yeah.
Was that Seed of Chucky?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, puppets fucked and made a baby puppet. I don't know how that works. Not puppets, but dolls.
Weird.
Anyway, yeah, puppets, that makes sense. Dolls, absolutely no sense at all. No, this I think Chucky in space, the thing, like, how does it end? We have to find the appropriate ending. That's the most important thing with Chucky in space. How would you end Chucky in space?
They just leave Chucky on Mars. And
they
somehow
literally just, like, they like the lone woman. There's always a lone lady survivor who's usually the virgin. Or she just lost her virginity, but she's still alive. And she's, you know, she's like, and she pulls a Ripley. You know,
yeah.
Like she, and we can even rip off the ending of Alien for this,
yes.
Where she escapes Mars and she's in the, and she's like reporting back to Earth, Cape Canaveral. This is Captain Campbell, Karen Campbell, Captain Karen Campbell of the USS Optimus Prime. Fuck. I'm trying really hard. Signing out, saying we've killed the doll threat and I'm heading back to the Weyland-Yutani Company. Sorry, this is all over the place. And then she's like sleeping in her cryo chamber. No, there's no cryo chamber. God damn it, dude. Stay with me. There's no cryo chamber. she's just lying down in a bed, and then all of a sudden she hears the pitter patter of little Chucky feet.
Oh no.
No. It's like the thing from Alien. So like she's sitting down at the console and she looks up and all of a sudden she sees like some red hair move, and she's like, "Oh shit!" And then Chucky's slowly moving into position like the alien.
Oh no!
You can literally rip off the ending of Alien.
Yeah.
And she's like trying to get the airlock position, but then she's like trying to get like I don't know, like a fire extinguisher, and like she's like slowly positioning stuff, and then he jumps out and he's like, and then she's like, "Not today, bitch!" And like, you know, blast him out the airlock, and he's holding on to the airlock like the alien. I just love that idea of like ripping off the ending of Alien.
I love this
for
plan.
Chucky in space.
I love this plan.
Because here's what you need to do with Chucky: you need to use him more as parody, horror parody. You can, because he's such a ridiculous idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like Freddy is a dream demon. That's scary. That's like steeped in some demon shit. Mm-hmm. But like Chucky's a killer doll. That's fucking, yeah, it's possessed, but it's a doll.
It also makes you giggle.
You feel like you can easily take him on, you know, like but he's not. He's
apparently
a,
not.
Not, no. But like that's one of the main things. So like you could go comedic, but it could be darkly comedic because Chucky is darkly comedic. Mm-hmm. It's always been a darkly comedic premise with that. So you could rip off Alien and do a parody with Chucky. Chucky could be a Deadpool of horror movies.
I mean,
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up, but Chucky could be the Deadpool of horror movies. He could be a big, crazy personality and, like, you know, a commercial identity.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like something ridiculous like this hasn't not been done. Like we said,
yes.
Jason went to space.
Yes.
The Leprechaun went to space.
To the moon.
Chucky just deserves his chance in space.
And we're sending him to space and Mars.
And then,
motherfuckers, it doesn't end there. Because, you know, remember in Alien, the alien gets blown out the airlock and then Ripley survives. Well, then we could rip off another ending for another movie where, like, Chucky gets blown out of the thing and he's just floating around in space.
Mm-hmm.
And then a fucking, out of nowhere, he's just floating and it's quiet. Fucking tractor beam. And he starts moving. Credits.
Yes.
Credits. Right at the tractor beam. You see you see him floating in space. You think it's safe. It's fine. He's dead. He's gone. It's all over. Next thing you know, blue tractor beam. And Chucky starts slowly moving out of frame. And then credits. That would be fucking insane. I want it. Make it happen. You're welcome, Hollywood.
You see the lost in space ship.
Ooh, that's even. Yeah. Or, well, I mean, lost in space or Star Trek. No, the Enterprise wouldn't make sense.
The Orville.
Ooh,
Orville.
Yeah, that would make sense in a fan fiction way. I like the idea of just seeing, the implication, idea that, oh, fuck, now aliens. Chucky's going to be hanging out with fucking aliens now.
Yeah.
What aliens? What the fuck? And you just end it like that, you know? Like, because
you don't
have to have him come back to Earth. You could have it just go even more ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's like Guardians of the Chucky Galaxy or some shit. Why not? Get even weirder.
Yeah.
Go weird with it. But that's going to do it for You're Welcome, Hollywood. Yet again, You're Welcome, Hollywood. We've done it.
You're welcome, Hollywood.
Yeah, fucking welcome. So out of the three, It Follows 2, A Quiet Place 2, or Chucky in Space, which ones would you say? Like, which one would you, like, point at and say the studio would make it? And which one would you point at and say you want to see it?
I want to see Chucky in Space.
Agreed. That's the one we want to see.
I think we'd most likely get It Follows 2.
Yeah, we have a really solid plan for that. I think that would elevate the film more. Like, Chucky in Space would be the one we want to see, but that's the one the studios would be taking the biggest fucking risk. Like, they'd be like, this is a direct-to-video fucking thing. It's like, yeah, but come on, if you put the money in, you could do it for $50 million and really do an awesome one.
Chucky in Space would have had to happen in the 90s.
Yeah, easily. Oh, my God. No, early 2000s.
Yeah.
When Leprechaun was going to the moon.
Yeah.
Like, early 2000s when Jason X was happening, in Space. But, yeah, you're right. Like, I'd say It Follows 2, our idea with the prostitute thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government using it as a weapon,
because mm-hmm.
like then you wouldn't have to do a third one, because then it would be about like weaponizing the monster. Like, no, like you'd have to start over in a third one. So
mm-hmm.
I like our idea of the second one. Then you could just end the series there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea is that's how you've saved everyone from this creature. You've now used it as an assassin against your enemies.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fucked up. And like you use the prostitutes to like catch it, release it, catch it, release it. Mm-hmm. And the prostitutes use it. Like, so you use sex as the weapon. As almost as the weapon, yeah, to a degree. So there you go. You're welcome, Hollywood. We've done it again. You're fucking welcome. And we all agree that Chucky in Space needs to happen. Whether or not it's our version, what the fuck? Like, think about the, like, if not Chucky, like, who else would, Michael Myers in Space? That would be the most boring one ever.
Yeah.
He's the most human of all of the masked killers. He's the most, like, human one. So, like, him in space would just be, like, your uncle in space. Like,
I would watch Hellraiser in space.
Hellraiser needs to be in space. Yeah, that needs to be in space. Hellraiser on Mars. Because Mars is a red desert planet. Imagine Hellraiser demons on Mars.
Yeah.
At night. Fucking metal. That's fucking metal. Hellraiser on Mars.
Oh, boy.
Mars, Hellraiser. Anyway, Ghosts of Mars, Hellraiser. John Carter's Mars Ghost. Oh, God. All right, that's going to doozer. Thanks again. Oh, don't forget, we do the YouTube channel.
Yes.
That's Simmer Mike, all caps, Simmer Mike. We're shouting at you. Description is links below for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again. And keep it nerdy, man. Is that how we end it? We don't do it that way.
Apparently. This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. Life from experience. Well, you know we do it to the show, right? Awesome. Breathe. Here at Team Awesome, Inc. Wink, wink. Shut up. Yeah.